What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Banter Zone. I'm here with...
What's happening, Terry?
And I'm Simon. Thanks for tuning in once again. Don't forget, right off the bat, if you do not subscribe, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button as well. And what we want to hear from you guys a little more is we want to see where people are watching from. We've had a couple episodes, sure. We've had good viewership, so now we want to know, where are you watching this from? Are you Canadian? Who do you support? Might as well drop that line, right?
Might as well.
What is your
CPL
team?
Drop us a comment. Doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. As if, we had a couple interviews with some players this week. Mason Trafford, Malik Hamilton, and Jay Wielden. Caught some win on a couple players potentially coming to Cavalry.
I got some win too, but not that way.
Different. Carries wins a little stinkier. Quite a few things happened in the CPL world. It seems like the European stuff kind of slowed up this last week.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Some FA Cup stuff, nothing major, and then a little bit of news, some of it good, most of it good, some controversial, and...
some good stuff. It was my favorite time.
Yeah, and of course, Harry's favorite, controversy. And then some projections that the CPL or campiel.ca did in regards to some of the players that are already signed and who are they projected to be the top five players in each position. So
yeah, we'll touch base on all the defensive stuff.
And then we'll give you our kind of top pick, who we think is going to be the number one out of those spots. But let's start off here. This one's a bit of a sad one on all notes and everyone kind
of... Before we get there, just let everybody let you guys know, happy belated birthday to Simon. Yesterday was his birthday, so...
Thank you, appreciate it. Harry's was not far before either.
Also sad because we're getting old.
Yeah, I know, thank you. 36, my days of being a professional athlete. Died, well, probably when I was like 16.
I'm a professional couch surfer.
Yeah.
It's not really bad. It's like a homeless. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I know. That was made it sound like you're just like going from couch to couch and
there
staying
at people's
houses. No. Oh, I guess it was last week anyways. But yeah.
Hey, on the topic of couches, we know a man that's going to be on the couch for the next few weeks here.
You're not supposed to joke about that.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So, back to the sad note. And this one is, all joking aside, it is a tough loss for Pacific FC and for the CPL. So early in
really
training
early.
Camp. Like, kind of hurts, but Pacific FC lost Marcel de Jong, which looks like for the rest of the season. Well, for the rest of the year.
Correct. One of the big defenders out there, too. Well, was going to be one of the biggest defenders out there.
I'd say probably arguably one of the biggest signings to date in the CPL.
Correct.
And ruptures his Achilles, so had to have surgery right away. Club took their time in releasing the press release, but you heard about it right away. People that were on field or just fans that were out watching the practice out, it looked like they were at their home field, if I'm not mistaken. Correct us if we're wrong. But a tough injury.
Yeah, this is a shitty injury.
Harry knows it firsthand.
I do.
And he's a specimen, but he's no athlete. And he went through this last summer, and it is probably the worst summer of your life, I would say.
Yeah.
Just trying to get around.
Unable to do anything, lay on couches, watch TV, be a geek.
You know what you should give him? How good was that knee scooter?
Yes. When you get to the knee scooter, DeYoung, and if you're watching this, or anybody else out there that's going through this injury, the knee scooter is the best. And the greatest thing is because, you know, in the spring, summer, you don't have to really worry about any snow or ice, I guess.
Yeah, and if you have a couple too many wobbly pops, then it kind of helps you keep balance.
Yeah, because you just sit on it. You use your other leg while your other leg's in the air. That's great.
I used that a couple times last summer, but that was quite the entertainment we had with you and your knee scooter.
It's going to be fun.
But, yeah, tough loss. De Jong's 32 years old, recently just came out of the Whitecaps. He's a Canadian international.
That's the worst. You can't even predict those injuries.
No.
It just happens. It happens. It happens.
Yeah. It's, you know, I've watched two of them happen kind of in front of my face. One was Elijah at Kugbe when it happened to him a few years back, and then yours. And even when it happened, you're like, no, I'm just going to go sit. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that looks
it sounded like a gunshot. It sounded like a gunshot, but I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's probably just like a sprain.
But, and then he tried to go sit on the bench and
step.
And Shabir said, yeah, you should, you know what, go get in the car and go to the hospital, because pretty sure that's what you need right now and not anything else.
One big reason why this is such a massive hit to Pacific as well is if you guys have been following Pacific, their team is really offensive. So
yeah, and bringing him in was going to give him a bit of cushion and some life in the back of
correct.
The field. But now, I mean, just signed contract, I guess. I mean, maybe too early to talk about any of it. How does that affect their cap? If you know, comment what your thoughts are, how this may affect the cap.
I don't believe it's going to affect the cap, because technically speaking, he hasn't really...
playing. Yeah, but it's not that. You get paid.
Not sure. Unless, depending what was unless originally in his contract. So, well, I guess, yeah, but
really
if
you know,
if you guys know, drop it.
Yeah, really, Coach Simpson says there's something. This is something that happens in football. You know, and I know it's better than most. But we try to do everything we can to prevent injuries, but it's part and parcel to pro sports. That's the nature of it. Terrible news for Marcel and for us. We're with him all the way and want to see him back on the pitch as soon as possible. Career. So all the best. At first I had heard ACL and just thinking, I mean, not that he's older, but being 32 years old, you get an ACL injury, you're a good year before you're back and rehabbing, and then you're easing back into the game. That's a tough
ACL
injury to come
is,
back.
Yeah,
and
tough
when I heard ACL, I was a little worried to say, you know what, that could almost be career. But ACL or
Achilles.
Beckham did it at even older, I believe. I think he was 36 or so, which still came back and did it.
I have faith. He'll rebound. I definitely am not an athlete, and I semi-rebound from what I see and know so far.
Until he goes to run this year, and we'll see. Typically, it's a
and
ball season injury.
One.
Yeah. Ball season, what, 2 years ago was? Shoulder?
Shoulder.
Dislocated?
Yeah, dislocated, tore my ligaments.
And the year after, Achilles.
Third time's a charm. We'll see what happens here.
I'm worried to play because like it's almost like something bad's gonna happen on purpose.
Have you ever felt like slapping somebody?
Quite often.
Perfect. Normally it's me.
See how he said that? That's not the first time. Honest, guaranteed not gonna be the last that I've wanted to slap you. So in my defense, sometimes people just deserve a slap. Valor signed, new player. Just came out of the MLS. It's kind of a big name. Michael Petrasso.
You wonder why he's a big name. Yeah, he has a big resume. We'll touch on that. But to go back to the slapping situation,
yeah.
He was slapped by Zlatan. Boom! In the air.
Petrasso, the headline he uses is that he was touched by greatness. touched by greatness, he meant he stepped on Zlatan Ibrahimovic, just knows when he's playing for Montreal FC. Obviously, Zlatan with LA Galaxy. Step back, heel on the toes. It sucks, it hurts. Slap head.
Boom!
Slap the back of the head. They both go down. Zlatan gets the red card. Petrasso
definitely deserved it, though. You can't tell me that was not a deserved red card.
No, it's just something like, even though, like, in the situation, did he slap him that hard? No, but he shouldn't have slapped him.
True.
And then Petrasso got a yellow card, so I think it was the right call. But he got him good. Like, it was clean. Slapped him side of the head.
Do you think this is a good sign for Valor?
I think so. I mean, he's still pretty young. What, 23 years old?
23, out of Toronto, Ontario, boy. So another Canadian kid.
So he's a defender who's defended the likes of, like, Wayne Rooney and Zlatan. So obviously, knows his way around a little bit. Winger, fullback, but really it seems a little bit more versatile as a fullback.
He has a resume, though.
And he's not a big boy. 5'6", he's shorter than me. So pace, obviously.
You're definitely going to see that out there.
Yeah, and that's where that fullback comes into place. Like, look at guys like Luke Shaw.
Right.
Guys that are small and they can punch up the wing really quickly. Those are the guys you want to be able to whip a ball in. Ashley Young, guys like that. Right? Queen's Park Rangers 2013 to 2018. This one's kind of odd, and I'd like to look into it a little bit more to see why. But a couple loan spells to random places, and all
very random.
Like 2014 twice, Coventry City, Leighton Orient, and then 14-15 season, Notts County, and then before going to Montreal Impact. 14 games of Montreal Impact, then he went on loan with Ottawa and didn't play a game. So he hasn't, I mean, he played in 2018, so.
Congratulations, I'm glad you did it.
But yeah, a couple games for QPR in the championship in 2013. But nothing too crazy.
No, nothing.
Kind of jumped around a little bit. Grew up in Woodbridge, Ontario. So Ontario native.
Yeah, played for Canada, U17 for a bit, U20, U23, Canada men's. So he has some experience out there. It's not like this guy's not experienced.
Yeah, he's only 23, so there's only upside to his career, you'd think, at this point. So it could be a good signing.
I think with that resume at the same time, I'm not going to say you're going to see this kid go on loan already, but if he puts in a crazy season this year and possibly, you know, halfway through next year, there might be some moves for him. Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, maybe he's at that stage in his career now that maybe he's had a couple off spells by the look of it. You just look at the amount of first team minutes he's played over the last bit. And I mean, not discrediting anything from Montreal Impact, but playing in England and Montreal, a little different.
A lot different.
Especially championship football.
Correct.
Way better quality. But stepping stone for him.
Definitely.
Jump back in. 23, still young. Got lots of years left.
I see a lot of years.
Come back here, boss it in the CPL, and then
yeah, make the money. He's at that age. Like you look
perfect
at that age. He's 23. The position he plays. You know, most of these guys, you know, they'll limit themselves by the time they get to like 32. So he's still got about 2 years or 10 years left to go.
Yeah.
But that's if he keeps healthy. He consistently keeps moving the way he should be and performing the way that he should be as well. So
yeah, so lots of upside for that. Great signing for Valor. Valor's kind of rounding up pretty nicely here now all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's getting scary. Valor was quiet for a while.
Yeah, and last time we did our video when we kind of broke down the teams, we're like, Valor was kind of like me.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to say. I would have put Valor almost at that point as kind of the dark horse potentially, but not to be the case. Did you want to touch on this one, or?
Dark horse. So, if you guys haven't heard already, I know I've said what I've had to say about Calvary. I'm not trying to pick on Calvary in no kind of way, but
a little bit.
Somebody's giving me the opportunity to pick on them a little bit here.
Yeah.
But kind of going back to what I said in the past, like previously, is they were Foothills last year. They did a great thing. They did win a championship. USL, correct?
USL League 2, it used to be the PDL, now it's League 2.
So they did a great thing. They won the championship there. They came back home. They did what I expected that they were going to do and signed some of the most... Okay, let's repeat that again. They did what I expected them to do. Sign a bunch of their players that they had last year with Foothills. Do I agree with it? Yes/no. I know there's a lot of people out there right now. We're fully disagreeing upon this.
Yeah, and I think it would almost, where I can chalk it up is because that team, like we discussed last time, that team was built for the CPL, which is why they walked through the PDL.
Are they actually built for the CPL? Or are you just saying they're built for the CPL?
They walked through, Nick Ledger would come back in, Marco Carducci coming in to play PDL. Both of them were, you know, Marco was in the USL prior. So why? Without that incentive to come back for something greater, that's a taking. And no disrespect to that league, but it's a step back from where you think Marco Carducci
Correct.
Was in the USL, playing the PDL. That's a big two steps back in the level. Nick, similar thing, if you would have called it the NA, when he was NASL with FC Edmonton. So it's a big drop. Sergio Camargo was TFC 2, I believe. So USL as well to drop off. You know, big drop. So obviously these guys go from league or second division down to fourth in the pyramid, I believe it is. Third or fourth in the pyramid. The U.S. changes their pyramid like once every couple months and they get bored.
They have nothing better to do, would expect.
No. And then they come to CPL or come to Calgary to play for Foothills, which is a PDL team. Concede, it's like minimal goals, score tons. They didn't lose a game.
True. But at the same time, like, there's no way I'm taking shots at anybody here.
Buddy.
It's truthful, though. I'm not taking shots at anybody. But, you know, as Tommy said, let them sleep on us.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to sleep on you. I'm just telling you right now, every other team out there is going to come out heavy, and they're going to be ready to beat you guys. And that's what we want to see. So seeing stuff like this right now and seeing the controversy between other people out there with a team right now, and I'm not saying this is the only team people are picking, because there are several teams in this league right now people are already pushing. But this was a big one because they won the PDL last year. Yeah. They brought a lot of their players back. Do I think they're going to go far? I think they'll make a splash, but I don't think they're going to go as deep as everyone assumes they're going to be. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the assumptions are, like, everything is just an unknown factor for the most part, because you don't know. They could have gone.
Nobody's seen this league play yet.
No, so everything is like hearsay, and we're all arguing points that nobody has any clue what's actually the outcome. Forge FC is touted to be the side that would be favored, I guess.
Definitely.
Bobby Smirniotis, look, obviously experience and the squad that he does have over there. But he's good. I mean, and the Doubters, there's people that question the, you know, Foothills' ability big time, but like Tommy said, don't mind if people say we're the best. We'll still compete to be the best. If people say we're not, then we'll just show them we are. Now, those are the challenges presented. I don't pay a lot of attention to those other things. I pay attention to what my players, ownership group, and fellow coaches think. So let them sleep on us. We'll do our talking on the pitch.
Yeah, I don't know where this information is coming from to begin with.
I know, like.
But at the same time, we're Canadians, okay? So we're very nice people in a sense. Mm-hmm. We're very polite. But do we like to stir the pot and create shit? Yes, we do. Yeah, quietly.
Yeah, quietly. So you're like, oh, Foothills, this is like Foothills team. Blah, 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 blah. And then, like, people start talking about it. There has been chatter about it. So
there's going to be two different sides to this conversation, though. Yeah. There's going to be sides of the conversation that people are jealous because this team stayed together from last year, and now they have something to prove again this year, like every other team does as well. Inaugural season, everybody wants to be that team to win and move forward. And then there's the other side of it of how can we create head games? How can we get in their heads and really just allow them to fall apart? Yeah. Right? There's two sides to it.
Yeah, and I almost say that it's part B. It's banter. That's that. I think to me it's more banter than anything else, because it's like,
I'm gonna go with a 50-50 draw on this one. I'm gonna say definitely banter, and at the same time, yeah, I think at the same time, some people might be right, but we're gonna find out.
Yeah. So that's be good to see. Kind of keep an eye on obviously what Calvary's doing to see what are they gonna be the dark horse, or are they gonna go out and be a little bit more impressive than what some people are suspecting. Mm-hmm. Comment down. Let us know what you think. On that.
Might as well.
Calvary, to stay with it, Calvary did play against Whitecaps FC development squad.
Number two, right?
It's the development squad is a mixture of some of their youth, younger, not youth, some of their younger guys, so some of their guys in their teens, 18-ish, and up to their 23. So guys that are getting the look, getting the chance to travel. Some of them are academy players. So a little bit of a mixed bag. But a team that is currently playing in, had been playing matches already. Calvary stepping on the field for the first time to play an actual game against somebody that is an inner squad game. But
who took that game?
2-0 Calvary FC. So an upside there. I couldn't make it there today, but
I don't want to create controversy, even though that's one of my favorite things to do. But yeah, I don't know. Like, good job. You hit 2-0. Yeah. Just don't allow this to fill your head, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't think it's too early. I don't think they would. I mean, it's too
early.
We're
like 40 days-ish away from kickoff.
To fill your head or anything, it's virtually, you really want to see what the guys you picked, how they're starting to mesh, how the things that you've implemented in the first 2 weeks of anything are starting to look on the field, like during the actual game. I think this is all that was and nothing more. But free kick in the first 2 minutes, and then second half goal off a cross on the 40-minute mark. So,
yeah, interesting things. It's great. It's good to see, you know, there are other teams out there as well, besides Calvary, that are doing the same thing, going out there playing other teams, different leagues, even within the same league, I guess you can say, prior to.
Pretty much that's talk. I think we've
beat it. Well, I've beat on them a little bit too much, so let's just move past it. I'd enjoy going filming there the rest of the season.
So. Yeah, good luck. Yeah. I'm just going to be like, hold the sign here because you're the one that was back. Don't worry, Nick will find a way to get you back. Don't worry, I'm sure. This one's, there's been a lot of talk around this guy. And then obviously we have our own opinions about it. But David Edgar, there was all these talks about him coming back to the CPL. And then there was all the talks of him being in Hartlepool, which is kind of, his dad was there. A little bit of history there as well on that side. And then that they didn't sign him, and then that he's going to come to CPL, and then...
But do you think this is another thing, once again, just to kind of create controversy, get conversation going, allowing people to fill their boots right now?
It's kind of like that Diego Forlán thing, almost.
A wee bit.
There's a bit there. But is it smoke? Most of it is.
Right.
Like 90% of it is smoke. I don't know, like...
I can't see David Edgar coming to play for a CPL team. Don't get me wrong, there might be a slight move for him, but number one, I don't see it this inaugural season. If anything, it'll be next season. But the question is he going to be able to get through what he is playing now, stay healthy, and then for next season, actually show when he goes to training camp to show that he is healthy. He's still got his feet. He's still got his legs.
Yeah.
Right? The CPL is completely different, which we all know, but at the same time, is it the right fit for him if he decides to come?
I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's that type of player that's going to come to a league like the CPL and shine. Because he's a good player, but his career, he's on the latter part of his career. He's had a lot of injuries over the last while. Not a lot of injuries, but a recurring injury.
Three times?
When I just met him, the first time I met David Edgar, wanted to do something with him. He wasn't even allowed to kick a ball because of... his rehab with his knee, so having a scope done and stuff like that at that point. But
same time, but
and now he's gone to Hartlepool, so the chances are if he's going to go there and he's going to do well, like is it a short-term contract and all of a sudden now he's going to sign there, or does that open up the door for him to sign somewhere else in England as well?
Sure,
stay there.
But that's the thing. He's at that age right now, and he's had those injuries. I almost believe his career across seas is pretty much over. I think his, and in no bad way ever, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying I think. It is time for David Edgar to exit. And I think if he is going to exit, and I'm not saying come play for a CPL team, but how big would it be if we could see David Edgar next season, the season after, come in and even just, you know, play off the bench?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. He's not only creating traction for the CPL, which the CPL needs,
yeah.
but at the same time, he's a Canadian international that deserves to be recognized. And I'm not saying being recognized in like the CPL, because yes, the CPL's a bit small and so young. We were researching teams that were 145 years old already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we were looking at, I can't remember what it was that we were looking at yesterday, and the difference. Teams 145 years old. Cavalry, any of these teams are 6 months.
Yeah.
They're baby.
So, you think about it, is it good for the sport, for the CPL? Yes. Is it good for David Edgar? No.
Yeah, I don't think he's at that point. He just got called back into the squad. So he's going to be there on the 24th. Let's see if he gets a call onto the first team and he gets first team minutes. Do you think he's going to get first team minutes on the 24th against French Guiana? I find it hard. Off the bench, maybe?
That's what I say. I say off the bench. And not in no way trying to take shots or daggers at this guy.
It's just where you're at in your career and the guys that they've brought in. There has been some injuries with Canada Soccer that are kind of scary, one being the...
And that's the biggest thing, like, you don't want him... And some of these teams are not going to let him to be the starter, because they will save him as a reserve. Because he does deserve that. You know he could be that guy, even if he doesn't play two games straight, back-to-back, coming off the bench, you know, in the 70th minute, the 80th minute. He's still that player that can do that consistently to every second game, every third game, and come in and get you what you need. Yeah. He will be that performance player.
Exactly.
But is he that number one performance player?
Not anymore. I mean, he's done stints. He's played some good quality ball in his past. And that's not to say that he can't get back to that, but he's got some work to do. That injury in 2016 hurt. That one did the number on him. And then, like we said, family's out in Newcastle. Dad played for Hartlepool.
Right? That's the biggest thing.
That's kind of an easier, like, why would you make that jump into something that a lot of young guys are trying to break into, where you can be comfortable over there making the money, making the check over there, playing, even if it is. Hartlepool's the fifth division of the
So how's your CPL?
That's got to be pretty close. No, because they said the MLS was like, would be equivalent to like the third or fourth, depending on which team you're playing against. Third or fourth division in England. So League 2-ish, League 3?
Yeah, but their player style is completely
different
down there.
Or League 3, it's League 2 and then the National League. Yeah, different style, big, hard, strong,
all
fast.
All day, every day.
I smash you in the face with an elbow. There's nothing to do about it. But I wish him, obviously, all the best.
Definitely.
It'll be great to see him, if he does get on the squad, just to see where he's at when Canada plays against French Guiana. So that's a good one. This...
You want to jump into this now, or are we throwing it over?
You know what? Dylan Dodge, who those who may know does our Bundesliga report, he touched a little bit on Fonzie. Played his first game for Bayern. So, you might as well. Give it to him.
Take it!
He's one of our own, he's one of our own. Alphonso Davies, he's one of our own. Alphonso Davies scores for Bayern München in their 6-0 drubbing of Mainz, and he becomes the youngest goal scorer for Bayern München in the last 20 years since Raque Santa Cruz did it in 1999. Welcome to the Bundesliga Report. My name is Dylan Dodge. It was a pretty wild match day 26 in the Bundesliga. Borussia Mönchengladbach and TSG Hoffenheim were forced to settle for just a point as they drew with Freiburg and Stuttgart respectively. And RB Leipzig has brought themselves even higher up the table now, leapfrogging Borussia Mönchengladbach with their 1-0 victory over Schalke. But the two big stories had to be the top dogs, Borussia Dortmund in tough against a plucky Hertha Berlin side that defeated Bayern München earlier in the season and also held them to a draw. The pressure was on Dortmund to set the pace first and not drop points to allow Bayern to climb above them in the table. After conceding 4 minutes into the game, later drawing it, and then falling behind again before halftime, they had to dig deep and managed to win 3-2 thanks to Marco Reus's stoppage time winner. Meanwhile, defending champions Bayern München peppered Mainz with 11 shots on target, and 6 managed to get by the keeper. One of those in the 70th minute came off of Canadian superstar Alphonso Davies' foot. And what a moment of jubilation for the young Edmontonian. With the win, Bayern continues to have the advantage in goals difference, which puts them top of the Bundesliga. For the rest of the teams, this is what the table looks like. In international news, ahead of Germany's friendly against Serbia and their Euro 2020 qualification match against the Netherlands, Löw, as we discussed in previous episodes, managed to drop Thomas Müller, Jerome Boateng, and Mats Hummels. A lot of fans still on the fence about this, a lot of wanting the old guys back, but former player and Die Mannschaft business manager Oliver Bierhoff says that the moves are not a doomsday scenario for Die Mannschaft, and there'll be opportunities for the younger guys as the changing of the guard naturally happens. When people compared the situation to 2004, Bierhoff did not want to connect the two, saying that it is not as bad and they were in a better position since that time. But the move still comes as a surprise to many, and even Julian Brandt admitted that he didn't expect to have those guys dropped. It'll be interesting to see how the youngsters do. Hertha Berlin's Niklas Stark will be playing at the back, as well as Leipzig's Lukas Kostermann and Werder Bremen's Maximilian Eggestein. So, we'll have to wait and see if the move pans out. That is all for the Bundesliga Report. Back to you, Simon and Harry.
All right, thanks, Dill.
Appreciate it. Yeah. That's the most Canadian content that I've ever heard out of this kid's mouth.
Yeah, very brief. But maybe we start doing a little bit more, maybe we start getting another 60 seconds out of him just for kind of the soccer stuff.
I like that.
Let's see.
But comment below.
Yeah, you want to see a little bit more of Dylan doing some more Canadian stuff as well? Let us know. Dylan, thank you for that. His team's doing, still managing to stay up top. Bayern is still rolling up there too as well. So good for them. Let's go over to the CPL projections. So campiel.ca.
They've been releasing this, what, for the last few days now? Almost every single day they've been releasing something?
Yeah, so they started off with the goalkeepers at first last Friday, and now they're running to every day they're giving you their top five kind of players to top five players, really, in their respective positions.
Instead of going through all five, why don't we just pick one keeper and just make that our choice?
Do you want to list off their five choices and then
let's list off their five.
So their five keepers, we'll go right to the keeper side of things. Carducci, Calvary FC, John Michael Williams with HFX Wanderers, 34-year-old, capped 81 with Trinidad and Tobago, so experienced. Tyson Farrago, Valor FC, the young blood there, played in FC Edmonton, the NASL, and then Mark Village on Harry's team, Pacific FC. Some good keepers. He was Whitecaps 2 before FC Cincinnati in 01 or in 2017. So also,
this is a tight list, though. If you look at it, these players, I'm not saying there's some keepers out there on this list that have had more time to play than others.
Yeah, like Roberts 34. Carducci, I think, is 24?
He's a baby.
22. Carducci's 22. Williams, 34. Fargo's got to be in that 22, 23 stage as well, if I'm not mistaken. But who's yours?
You know what? You go first.
I'm going to go with experience to start it off.
I'm going to go with the Gigi Buffon side of things.
And I said, this guy's going to be that experience. He's going to be like the... I don't want to say Joe Hart at West Ham, because Joe Hart was kind of trash when he was at West Ham. But I'm going to say the goalie is going to be come out as the number one, Colin Roberts.
Why?
Forge FC. LAFC, Toronto FC, bit of experience at a higher level. Scored a crossfield goal. So I don't know. Most experience at that level, most recently, I would say, because of that. I'm going to take it.
I don't even know where to go. Like, this one's crazy. As much as I'm going to see Mark Village and, you know, Pacific move, Village is just going to get pummeled, so I'm definitely not going to go to Mark. I hate to say this, but I almost have to agree with you on this. I'm going to have to go with Roberts. Because if you think about the only other goaltender would be Williams. Williams is already 34 years old.
Yeah.
34 years old, you're standing in that box against players that are 18, 19, 20, young guys, guys with a lot more skill. I'm not saying that this guy can't stop that, but I don't see him being able to keep up to that as an older keeper. Marco Carducci, yeah, you're a great keeper, but at the same time, I'm going to have to sit with Roberts on this as well. I'm going to have to agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's the most sensible choice almost. Because just looking at the experience, lack of experience at that level, and then the fact that Roberts has played in the MLS, it's just kind of the easy choice. So, wow, we agree.
Yeah, for once.
We did not talk about these before, actually.
No.
This is all coming in new. Let's go over to...
Oh, five best right fullbacks.
Right fullbacks here.
Ooh, gosh. So we got Jonathan Grant, Forge FC. Diego, Valor FC. Kadian Chung, Pacific FC. Zachary from Halifax Wanderers. Kareem Moses, FC Edmonton. I'm going to jump right off the bat, and I'm going to throw it at Kareem Moses.
I knew it. I think that's a very solid pick. 29 years old.
He's
experienced at that level.
Experience. He's built. He knows the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not in no way trying to cuss anybody out of this top five list, but Kareem Moses, if you look at his track record, you look at his past, you see where he's come from. It's common sense.
Yeah. A couple good players, but I mean, Jonathan Grant was a League 1 0. Defender of the Year. Big boy though. Diego Gutierrez, also young. He is Chilean, so I could almost say that I would almost have to pick him, or else I would like be a little dead inside. But this one I kind of felt like, so I saw Kadian Chung was picked in there, and if we go based off of that same perspective, Kadian Chung played for Whitecaps FC 2.
Correct.
Also played in that same position with the same player was Chris Serbin from Calgary FC, Calgary Sun. Kadian did play below him because Kadian was younger. Kadian did go off to play somewhere else. So they split the time there. So in that right, I would almost say that Chris Serbin is a very solid right back. He's very quiet in his style of play, so maybe that's why he may get overlooked. But that's a tough one. I almost want to. That's my one on this list.
And in no way, trying to put Kaden.
No, he's a great youngster, but he's
Kaden Chung. He's young. He's gonna have a lot of fire in his belly.
Yeah.
He's gonna want to play, but I think that's where some of the mistakes are gonna come from.
Yeah, and that's that youth. That's that youth, and it's just that lack of experience at that level. When you get guys that have been at a level that have played, you know, 5-6 years in the top league, they're just gonna be able to run circles. They're just mentally a little bit farther ahead of you. That's
correct.
All. They're a step ahead.
Nothing crazy, because I think halfway through the season, some of these younger kids, all the mistakes they made in the first quarter, they're gonna realize, okay, we're better than this.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out and say, from this list, Zachary Sikkona.
Oh man.
Halifax Wanderers. Why? Because I think Halifax is going to be one of the stronger defensive teams that we talked about before. They're very well balanced, and Stephen Hart is a solid defensive coach. I just think having those guys there and having that experience beside him, around him, it's going to strengthen him. And I think out of this, he's going to be that nice, speedy winger. Hopefully, you're going to see some good pace out of him on that side. So I would say Sikkona. Harry Kareem Moses from FC Edmonton. So we disagreed, but they're both quality. Like, it's hard to say.
Moses is the man. Just watch, all right?
Here we go.
I'm right. That's why he agreed to me the first time. Just get the ball rolling.
Let's go to center back.
This is a crazy position to play, though.
Yeah. Like, there's talented center backs, and then there's Harry.
That's why I was hyping it up. I was like, yes!
I had to take a shot at him. But, like, quality guys. Mason Trafford, Skylar Thomas, Bertrand Awundi from Forge FC, Jordan Moreau from Valor FC, Luca Gasparotto from York 9.
Like, this is a tight, tight list. Like, it's almost impossible to choose one player from this top five list. But at the same time, I'm just, like, have a few down here, but you know what? I'm going to stick with, and I know I talked about this one previously, with Skylar. I'm going to stick with Skylar Thomas from Valor. Just the guy he is. He's 25 years old. He's still young. He's built. He's got speed. And I'm just assuming that he's smart up here when it comes down on the pitch.
Yeah. Toronto FC 2, Charleston Battery in the USL. 6'3", he's a big boy. Looks solid. So the only thing I don't really know about him all that much is, and it really depends on the style of play. Yeah, how he's with the ball at his feet. A center back, like a guy, look at guys like Phil Jones, big, strong on the ball. It's hard to beat him in the air, but sometimes they make some dumb decisions with the ball at their feet. What is that?
Harry, down. Oh,
exhibit A.
It's truthful though. It happens. Yeah. But playing center back, it honestly just does it to you. Like, some days you can just stand back at the pitch and you're just like...
Like, there's guys that are really good at organizing and distributing and telling guys what to do. Correct. And having a very good vision on the field. And then there's the center backs and the guys that I kind of like more personally. I like the guys that can play with the ball at their feet a little bit more. So sometimes they're not as big, but they're a little bit more intelligent and footwork is better. So if I'm going to base it off of that, I'm going to have to go with Mason Trafford.
Trafford, he just signed with Calvary, right?
Yeah, he doesn't play like the way he touches the ball and his movement on the ball is not like how a typical center back, you see most center backs play. He's not afraid to get stuck in on a tackle. And most of these guys are going to be tough as nails, hard as nails, but I think his vision and his smarts,
I think he's going to be great. I am disagreeing with you on this. Yeah. He's 34 years old. You're telling me there's not going to be a point in time where he is going to be stuck, which, yes, you did say he will.
32, 34,
same thing.
But your center backs is like where your older guys fare better in like a CB and a key position.
Correct. I understand. But at the same time, him being a little bit older, I kind of feel like he will be left in the dust by some of these other guys.
He's not slow. Skylar Thomas is big, strong. Harry's trying to do that today. I already threw the table once today. You want me to get angry?
No! What do we got next? Left fullbacks. This one is interesting. I remember going through this. I think we talked about this very, very briefly previous to this. You got to go back to the main page because they didn't do a good job. But top five left backs. Okay, so we're just gonna I'm just gonna throw them out there. Ramon FC.
He's got his own. Wait, is that a new expansion? We got a new expansion team in this.
Roger Thomas, York 9. Daniel Forge FC. Martin from Valor. And then it's kind of a top four list now because. Yeah, I'm sorry to say
it, but. No, but it is because when they made this.
Marcel.
They made the list and then. Wait, when did they make this one?
This would have been.
They made it Tuesday. Or Monday. He got injured on Wednesday.
Yeah, but it was official. Yeah.
So, yeah, he was injured.
So, top four.
Top four. Because I would say Marcel de Jong would be that.
He would definitely be number one. But at the moment, was leaving on the sidelines. So, we're top four list.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one's a tough one for me.
I like Coach Rob Gill because he likes to pick Chileans. That's two he's got.
Okay, so go. Who are you throwing in there?
You go first. I went first. Before.
I am going for Daniel Kurtzen from Forge FC. Young kid, 22. Okay. Does have legs. He is going to be able to help sustain that back end. He doesn't have a big resume, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But he has a lot to prove. Yeah. And he's got a lot to show, so.
Yeah. This is where a little bit trickier because you don't see a lot of good, like, left-sided. This is a harder position to fill with a good left-footed, this is pacey guy that's going to be able to play that.
Correct.
Depending on the role that you want him to play. But,
here we go.
if I pick him, this pick is solely because, I can't say that.
Don't do it. Do it. What's the worst that happens? It doesn't do well and it's wrong again?
Martin.
I'm going to say it like the Chilean way.
Do it.
It's Martin Aguinarena. 150 appearances in Chile's first and second division. Played in Uruguay. Last in the first division. So 27-year-old, good awareness. And obviously Rob Gale picked him for a reason.
His stamina is crazy. I believe when we went through his stats last time, his stamina was insane.
Yeah, it's not a big guy, but hopefully he's going to be able to provide that pace and that
sustainability back there. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. Like, playing that position it's a tough position.
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy.
You're picking up the pieces, you're chasing fullbacks, you're looking at so many different pieces there, but good old Chilean boy. Gotta take him. I'll give him that one.
What about top five D-mids as we sit right now?
Defensive mids. So we got James Marcelin from FC Edmonton, who's one of the biggest signings in the CPL, according to Jeff Paulus. We got Ledge.
I don't agree with that.
Nick Ledgerwood. Cavalry FC, Kwame Awau, Forge FC, Joseph DeChara, York 9, and Cisse from Forge FC.
I know who I'm choosing. And I'm choosing this guy. And Nick, I know we spent a lot of time together. I know we've hung out together, but forgive me. Joseph, he is my pet. I've seen this. I can see it happening.
What?
What do you mean, why? Number one, Joseph is Joseph, okay?
You don't even know who he is.
So, Joseph played in Russia. He does have, his resume is not as good as everybody else's. But he's a taller boy. Okay? So when you're playing that defensive role, you need to have a little bit of height on you.
That is a center mid. I disagree.
What?
As a center defensive mid, you want to be more of a... You have to have good vision. You don't need to be big. You have to have good feet. Good feet.
Joseph.
Big boys don't have good feet.
Big
like
boys
Harry.
Don't cry.
They just tear their Achilles. That wasn't a shot at Marcel. That was a shot at Harry. Just let me clear that up.
But to be honest with you, why I'm choosing this guy, he's a lot taller than you do see any kind of player in this position. When you see a player like this playing your center D, you are going to be looking at this guy. He's going to throw you off. This player will throw off your game and catch it that split second.
Yeah, but if you catch it good, so put up a guy
you know, center defensive mid in comparison, and this is obviously an extreme comparison, but put Messi up against a guy who's 6'4".
Okay.
What's the guy going to do? Tangle himself up and fall. Messi's going to dance around him.
So we're talking about Pogba.
He falls a lot, actually. He's been so bad lately.
But, yes, understood.
And that's where I think as a center defensive mid, and personally, I just, same thing. I like guys that can play with the ball well and move, whereas defensive-minded, big guy at the back, so no one put a ball in the cross. Now you got to fight with a big center defensive mid, and then you got two big center backs. Good luck. Like, you're not going to be, everything's got to be on the ground.
That's right? What I mean.
Or you're hooped.
But I'm not saying we know every single player, and we haven't seen, I can't say I've seen every game or seen a game from these guys, but having that tall guy in the center there, he will throw your game off.
Yeah, exactly. That makes it tough to put anything that's going to come out of the corners is tough. Everything's going to have to come on the ground, but then you're trying to beat these big guys in small spaces. So really, it'll come down to skill. I am going to go with Forge FC's Elimane Cisse. A little bit of experience in Senegalese international. He's fast, 24 years old. He's also able to play as a center back. So if you have that kind of faith in him to play as a center back, obviously defensively solid, but playing as a center mid, he's got that, you know, he's good on the ball.
Correct.
He's got to be good on the ball. He's got probably a great touch. So that's my pick.
Not bad. So what, we've covered all defensive roles.
Yeah.
Next week, let's cover all offensive roles.
Mm-hmm. So when this was released, the center mids are going to go, and then the attacking mids, right wing, left wing strikers, in that order, day by day. So
comment below. Let us know. Are we way off? Do you believe we're way off, or do you believe you have a better pick than we do? I just want to let you know, nobody beats my picks.
And we'll let them keep believing that until the reality starts to set in, and we'll hear a lot less banter out of Harry. That's the real stats show. Or you'll hear less
of me. I'm just going to have a cardboard cutout sitting here.
Yeah, who knows?
Who are you speaking today? You hurt my feelings.
Or maybe, when the league kicks off, both of us will just have to shut up because we're both terribly wrong about everything. So, come on, boys. We need you here. But comment, let us know our top five. You know what? I'm going to put them here. Top five. I don't know, really, besides that, what else happened? There was some stuff in the world of the European side of things. It was
European
kind of
side of
fest.
Yeah, let's keep it simple and easy. International break.
Yeah, that's this week, so even worse, even quieter in the world of the European soccer. Some friendlies, some actual games. Canada soccer is the big one on the 24th against French Guiana.
Correct.
Need that to qualify for Gold Cup. So come on, you Reds. Let's go, boys.
You and your boring jerseys. Your kids are horrible, so. The guys could
you know what? Might as well, since we're on that topic, you brought it up. There's been nothing but the horrible things said about it.
Like, horrible.
I saw the textures and they look kind of cool, but...
Yeah, but from afar, you stare at them, what do you see?
Yeah. Just red.
It should have been a lot more. And I know we touched base on this last time when we got into the conversation about, well, is it because we're Canada? We don't have a lot of kids to choose from. Do we just get the shit under the stick and be like, well, we're going to send these to other countries, so... comes Canada.
Yeah, but hopefully they do us proud anyway in the blood jerseys.
It's not about the kid, it's how you play on the pitch.
Exactly. So maybe let's go to a World Cup and I'll get some color on them jerseys. But FA Cup, United lost. We
lost to the Wolves, which is crazy.
But they had a good game, but whatever.
The Wolves have been doing that all season. Doesn't matter if it's CPL, doesn't matter where they've been playing, FA Cup. They've just been that
upset,
team that just an upset.
Yeah, kind of exciting to watch.
Which sucks because, you know, the Wolves are going to get in there, they're going to get it deep, and then they're going to lose. They're going to bail, they're going to fall on their faces so hard. It was a waste of time. Yes, you filled your stands. I don't give a shit. Sorry.
Yeah, you probably bang on. The city's rolling. Everyone's talking about the city still on the verge of their quadruple, still hopes alive, even though that game they did come from behind to win it.
True.
Liverpool won. Rounds getting down in smaller Premier League. Nothing's changed because there was a couple games, but they were meaningless.
Still Liverpool still sitting at the top, so which is good.
Yeah.
In a sense, depending on.
Yeah, but they're a game ahead now of City because City was playing in the FA Cup.
Correct.
So City will have a chance to regain that again. No Champions League, no nothing. So
nothing.
Really
quiet. La Liga, nothing.
Yeah. Like Liga, if you guys want to hear us talk about Liga, let us know, because it doesn't seem like most people don't. They don't care about the big two.
Yeah.
And then in Serie A, There's the couple teams. I mean, the Italian community, big on some of their squads. So the Milan Derby was musical, but nothing too crazy happened there. But really, besides that, where are we at?
We're leaving. We're leaving you guys alone. I'm taking off.
I'm hungry.
I'm always hungry, so.
And I kind of want to drink.
On that note, I'm Harry.
I'm Simon. Thanks for watching. Stay tuned. Like,
subscribe, follow. Once again, once we hit 1,000 followers, I'm going to act a fool on camera. I don't think I do anyways, but I'm going to act a fool.
Thanks for watching. See you next time. Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah.